Welcome to the Tuesday show. It is, of course, Team Name Tuesday, and the Brewers played, so we'll have a Thames watch for you. Those are the segments you can bank on. Welcome. I'm Adam Azer. We got the full gang here. We are Non-Zero Chance. I forgot about our band name. We are Non-Zero Chance. Heath Cummings, Chris Towers, Scott White. Good morning, everybody. How are we today?
So good, Adam.
Oh, really?
So good.
I'm fine.
Heath?
Yeah, not that great.
Why? Oh, Heath, what's wrong?
I'm just a little bit irritable. It's tough times being a fan of the worst team in baseball.
Hmm. Yeah, well, don't just ask Scott for help with that. He's got experience. So,
oh,
yeah.
During this rebuild, they've never been the worst team in baseball. I just want to point out.
Well, except for like 3/4 of last year.
Okay. Yeah, but no, they didn't end up with that first overall pick.
Heath, full season stats are more predictive.
That's right. So we love buy low, sell high, especially early in the year. And I'm going to give some players, and you tell me buy low or heck no, and sell high or keep this guy, because I like to rhyme on Team Name Tuesday.
Did that just come out just now, that rhyme?
No, it's in the notes. Accident? It's in the notes.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay, all right, fair enough.
Prepared rhyme.
I would have liked it better off the cuff.
Not quite capable of that.
Yeah, neither am I.
You dirty rat. So we've got Josh Harrison and Jed Jerko double donging, and Noah Syndergaard out several months, and Aaron Sanchez on the DL a lot more. Let's start with Monday standouts. Happy Heath Cummings. Why don't you nominate a standout from Monday's action?
Well, should I choose Cesar Hernandez or Travis Shaw?
Oh, it's Toot Your Own Horn Tuesday.
I did Toot Your Own Horn Tuesday. No, I was glad. I was worried about the hand injuries for both Steven Souza and Travis Shaw. Souza didn't do anything to make me feel better about it, but Travis Shaw's three-run dong certainly did.
Can I? Did you see my Steven Souza note from last night on Twitter? He has yet to hit a baseball more than 373 feet this season, even though he has 4 home runs.
Okay.
He has the lowest home run, average home run distance in baseball. 5 different pitchers have hit a ball further than Steven Souza's furthest hit ball.
Has Jock Peterson?
What?
I was asking if Jock Peterson hit a ball farther than
Steven Yes.
Souza. Okay.
What is that? Yeah, what is that? Wow, ordery.
You don't have to take everything so personally.
The Royals
are you sure Jack
won.
Peterson has, or are you just assuming?
I'm 100% certain Jock Peterson has.
The Royals won yesterday.
I'm sure he's right.
I don't get that. All right, so... I forgot who is Travis Shaw. Sure. That was good. Back in the lineup hitting a home run. Scott, who is your Monday standout?
I am starting to get genuinely excited about Jed Jerko, and not just because he's hot. I mean, he is hot. He's batting 500 in his last
good looking guy.
His last 9 games with 4 home runs, 6 home runs now overall, 2 home runs last night, of course, but he is always been a player for, we think of him as this all or nothing power hitter because the batting average is always low and he doesn't walk much, but he never has struck out all that much either. He's always had a low strikeout rate for a hitter of his profile. And this year, you know, I've noticed it kind of inspired me to check because he hit a 414-foot home run to right center yesterday. He's going opposite field 33% of the time. Between left center and right, his hits have been evenly distributed. When in the past, he's pretty much been a dead pull hitter. So if that works in conjunction with the fairly low strikeout rate, I could see him becoming a decent source of batting average all of a sudden. And with triple eligibility, second, third, and shortstop, and you know we obviously know the power potential he possesses, I think it's time to add him pretty much everywhere.
Whoa, okay. So Jerko is 69% owned. He went 4-for-5 with 2 home runs. He is the number 8 second baseman in points, number 6 second baseman in Roto, number 6 shortstop in points, number 4 in Roto. I didn't look up where Jerko ranked at third base. But I do know that last year he had, man, I'm trying to look it up now, so I'll get back to it. But Jerko had one unbelievably hot stretch, and he's never hit better than 249. I know you just addressed it, but...
Yeah. Yeah, he's always been a streaky hitter.
Very.
I just think I'm seeing a change here in the kind of hitter he is. Potentially, I mean, it's a small sample size for what direction he's hitting the ball, like everything else. But you would think that aspect wouldn't be as streaky as other aspects of a player's profile.
He had basically, I don't know, he was only bad for 1 month last season, really. He wasn't any good in June. He had a 471 OPS, but he had a 765 OPS or better in every month. He became an everyday player starting in July, pretty much, and he hit 23 home runs in the final 3 months of the season.
Well, he's got some pop. And actually, I was surprised, only 6 home runs now for Jerko. He only had 4 going into the game, but 2 homers. All right, so Devin Travis or Jed Jerko?
Only 6. That's what? A 36 homer pace?
I was surprised that he only had 4 going in.
Well, he hasn't played every day, right?
Probably not.
He only has 72 plate appearances.
Yeah, they've been. Yeah, that's.
The reason I kind of scoffed at it is because I'm not really sure how to gauge what a good home run total is this time of year. Because if you have 4 right now, you're basically on a 25 homer pace, but that seems like nothing compared to how many players have much more than 4, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it's 25 homers would be great for any shortstop eligible player.
Sure.
Which Jerko is.
It's probably still too early to talk about pace.
Yeah.
Like, one home run changes your pace dramatically.
All right, let's Devin Travis or Jed Jerko?
Jerko.
Nah, Hernan Perez or Jed Jerko?
Perez.
I say Jerko.
Jerko.
Perez did not play yesterday. I was very disappointed. I just picked him up. Sat him. All right.
LeBron wasn't playing. That's sad.
Yeah, right. Even worse. Chris, Monday standout.
I will go. I guess we have to talk about Dylan Bundy again. He's had such a weird start to the season. And perhaps the weirdest thing is that he's somehow faced the Red Sox 3 times in his first 6 games and has had good results against them every time, even though I think he's got like 7 strikeouts in 18 innings or something against them. So it's kind of tough to know what to make of him right now.
Yeah, I agree. He's got Dylan Bundy has a 1.82 ERA. 10 walks, 25 strikeouts, and 39 and two-thirds. If you really break down the strikeouts, he's, as Chris mentioned, he's faced the Red Sox 3 times. He's faced Toronto and Tampa Bay the other 3 games that he started, and those two teams are top 6 in strikeouts. Tampa Bay is number 1. So he did very well against Toronto, 14 strikeouts and 13 innings. 1 start against the Rays, only 3 strikeouts. He had a very bad fastball in that game. That was his second, you know, his previous start before last night. But Bundy was throwing harder last night, 92, I think, pretty consistently. And I saw him get up to like 94, I think. That's why I was surprised that he only struck out 2 Red Sox. And go ahead.
This early in the year, like, you could make 2 equally valid arguments that Bundy just got through the Red Sox 3 times. The opponent's face for the rest of the year is likely to be much easier than it's been to this point in the year. He'll probably pitch better. His results won't be as good, but you should kind of wipe your brow because he got through a really good lineup 3 times.
All right. Did he, though? Then, because they have the 5th fewest runs scored in baseball.
Right.
Yes. But that part of that is the fact that he's only allowed 5 runs and 3 starts.
And maybe part of that is because Dylan Bundy faced them 3 times.
The other side of that equation, I would say, is that peripherally, he looks a lot like what Dylan Bundy has looked like in his career. He's got a 4.36 career Sierra. He's got a 4.65 this year.
Well, see, he doesn't look all that much like himself, though. Like,
he's really had a career.
But he's a very different pitcher than he was last year.
Because like, he's not striking as many batters out.
And he's not walking as many. He's been a very different pitcher.
The batted ball profile looks very similar with almost no ground balls, a ton of balls hit in the air, hard contact, really pretty similar. And again, whether it's he's getting it with more strikeouts and more walks or less strikeouts and less walks, a very middling Sierra.
Well, let's talk about value for Dylan Bundy because I did have him in the sell high or keep this guy category. First of all, what would you be looking to do? Would you sell high on Dylan Bundy or would you keep this guy?
I think if someone views him as like a number 2 starter, I would definitely sell him because I don't think he's that good. But I think you're in a weird spot with him because I don't know who Dylan Bundy is. Like, we're a fifth of the way through his season probably, and I really don't know what to make of Dylan Bundy right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe the SPARP relief pitcher eligibility and points leagues could allow you to sell high. Like, you kind of did Adam getting Zach Britton for him, although Britton has his own concerns.
Yeah, I think that was a good trade.
Yeah, Britton will be back today.
Right, right. I think part of the issue is, yeah, we don't have a good grasp on who Dylan Bundy is, but how many pitchers do we have a good grasp on who they are? 25, 30, something like that?
There's a lot of guys that we know are bad.
No, that's... Or at least not very... But like we know who Jake Odorizzi is,
like,
right?
But six starts in, do we know who the guy that Dylan Bundy faced last night, Rick Porcello, is? Because he's looked like a very different pitcher than he was last year.
Yeah. Well,
and last year, he looked like a way different guy than he'd been throughout his whole career.
I would trade Dylan Bundy for Rick Porcello.
Me too.
Yeah,
I don't really like Porcello that much, but I would take Porcello for Bundy.
Yeah.
Okay. Who would you rather have rest of season? Here's my standout from yesterday. Julio Teheran or Dylan Bundy?
Teheran still.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not particularly pleased with what he's doing right now.
No.
18 walks to 27 strikeouts in 35 and a third. And 2 years ago when he had a bad 2015, the walks were up 3.3 walks per nine. And he's usually around 2.1, 2.2. Last year he got it back down and he had a nice year. If I remember correctly, it was really like 2 months where Teheran was good and he wasn't good for a lot of the year last year, which is why I sort of stayed away. I was offered Teheran for Kyle Schwarber in our podcast league. I said no, even though Schwarber's got his own issues right now. So I guess I kind of felt better about it yesterday. I saw he hit with the bad start, six hits and six innings against the Mets, and right now a 4.33 ERA. How much do you trust Julio Teheran, Scott White?
I mean, it is a pretty steady track record. So from that perspective, like I feel like he's more trustworthy than most pitchers you'd put in like that number three spot of your rotation. But like if he keeps walking guys at this rate, that's going to blow everything up. We need to see a turnaround with those. He leads the NL in walks right now, which is completely out of character.
Okay, so that's Julio Teheran. Julio Teheran or Michael Fulmer rest of season?
Teheran.
I go Fulmer.
I think I'd go Fulmer.
Let's go do our quote of the day. Our quote of the day is from Mike Napoli, who was involved in a bit of a dust-up. The bench has cleared in the Astros-Rangers game. He said, so here's what happened. Lance McCullers gave up a home run to Napoli earlier in the game. Then a couple of Astros were hit by the Rangers. Andrew Cashner didn't seem intentional. So then McCullers throws behind Mike Napoli, behind him with a fastball. And Napoli says, I've been in the game a long time. I understand how things work. Two of their guys get hit, but all he has to do is put it in my hip and I run down to first base. No one likes 95 miles per hour behind their back.
All right. So like how much did he miss his hip by? Because like Lance McCullers doesn't exactly have pinpoint control. It's entirely possible. He tried to hit him on the hip.
See how high the pitch was.
It wasn't that high. It wasn't that like, this is what I don't understand. You'd rather get hit in the hip then missed behind the back? Makes
well,
no sense.
I think behind the back makes more sense. If it was behind his butt, then I don't think he has any argument. But
the whole thing is
closer to the head.
He
the
missed.
Whole thing is dumb.
It is dumb. But he missed. I'd rather him miss. Don't hit me with 95 in the hip. It's gonna hurt like hell. The other double donger yesterday, other than Jed Jerko, was Josh Harrison. Josh Harrison, 2-for-4 with two homers. He is now the number 13 second baseman in both points in Roto, batting .313 with four home runs. And Josh Harrison has already equaled his 2015 and 2016 home run output. He hit four in those two seasons. Any interest in Harrison? He's 43% owned.
I think Josh Harrison's a fine little player.
Team,
but not because he's going to hit home runs. I want to see him steal more bases. He only has 2-4 attempts so far. That's what I'd like to see go up.
If anybody wants to buy high on Josh Harrison, come to Team Kreef. He is for sale.
Ah.
Whoa. We haven't discussed this.
He's for sale.
I don't know.
He can give you a little batting average. He's going to bat better than .280 every year, it seems, but he really doesn't do anything else, Josh Harrison. It's time now for the Thames watch. Eric Thames went 1-for-4 with a double, an RBI, and a run scored, and a walk at St. Louis. So he is back in business. And speaking of watches, very happy to hear that our listeners are discovering the greatness of movement watches. These are beautiful watches, very affordable. We've got our movement watches, all of us. So go get yours and get 15% off. So here's the URL for you. 15% off, free shipping, free returns. Go here. MVMTwatches.com/FBaseball. That's the letter M as in movement both times. MVMTwatches.com/FBaseball. 15% off, free shipping, free returns. Now let's talk about the watches. good luck settling on a favorite. There are so many sharp men's watches. I'm a big fan of the Slate and the Denali. I showed my fiance the women's selection. She was very impressed. Movement watches start at just $95. At a department store, you're looking at $400-$500. So get 15% off today with free shipping and free returns by going to mvmtwatches.com/fbaseball. Step up your watch game, people. Get mvmtwatches.com/fbaseball and join the movement. All right, news and notes. Noah Syndergaard, partially torn lat, could miss several months. GM Sandy Alderson said there was no connection between the biceps injury and the lat injury.
Oh, really?
Sure.
What he said. Dr. Alderson.
They do both connect to the shoulder.
The Mets so have such a strong track record that I think we have to take them at their word here.
Is there anyone in there that's going to join the rotation that you're interested in picking up?
No.
I will keep an eye on Rafael Montero, but I will not add him.
I was really struggling because I am updating my rankings this morning, and I don't think I'm dropping Syndergaard low enough.
Like, why not?
First off, I don't like the term several months. I'm hoping that Adam just used that.
There's no timetable.
Officially. If it's 2 months, feels like a good scenario, right?
Well, Steven Matz had the same sort of injury 2 years ago, and he missed almost exactly 2 months. I do think it's worth noting Clayton Kershaw had a lat injury. I don't know that it was quite as bad as this one. He came back, this was in 2014. Remember, they took that trip to Australia for a late March game, and there was the long flight back, and he ended up missing about 6 weeks after doing that. And that was the year he won both the Cy Young and the MVP.
And Sonny Gray is coming back after about 6 weeks, right?
Yes. Now, I don't know that either Kershaw's or Gray's were classified as a tear. Strain is basically a small tear.
That's the thing,
tear.
Is that it all depends on what the Mets, I know they don't like to refer to hamstring strains. They never do. They always call it a pull. When a player hurts their hamstring, it was Cespedes when he left the game the other day said he had a hamstring pull. So it might just be a terminology thing.
Yeah.
Because a strain is a tear.
Right.
And we got Chris to say the word pull, which is always fun.
Always, always good. I didn't even say anything this time.
But here's the thing. I'll let you talk, Heath. Sorry. Go ahead.
Well, because I dropped Syndergaard down to 33rd.
How can you not?
First thought.
How can you not drop him? What's the argument for not dropping Madison Bumgarner lower than Noah Syndergaard?
Madison Bumgarner's injury happened first. I heard about a 2 month timeline on Madison Bumgarner.
All-star break. It's after the all-star break for Bumgarner. So it's more than 2 months from now. It's going to be about 3 months.
And
that's
a shoulder. Like, you can agree that
is connected to the shoulder.
It's not the joint, though. The joint is where.
It's a grade 2 strain. It's a tear of a shoulder
muscle. The back shoulder.
And
area.
I guess the other thing would be Madison Bumgarner doesn't pitch for the Mets. that doesn't matter at all. Like, you just roll your eyes at that. Like, you don't think there's a chance that they bring Syndergaard back a week too early.
It matters a little. We can't make fun of the Mets all week.
But I don't think the Mets are any more desperate to do that than the Giants might be.
Oh, I think they definitely are.
The Giants could be pretty desperate.
Giants could be out of contention by then. They're not good.
The Mets have...
But they could turn it around. I mean, they could.
And then the other thing is, I had, and I think everybody had at least small injury concerns with Syndergaard, more than we did with Bumgarner coming into the year.
And sure. Bumgarner's wasn't a pitching injury either. But here's the thing. I was very close to trading for Bumgarner yesterday. I was going to give up Carrasco, whatever. It doesn't matter because Dozier was in the trade too. So I was going to, I almost did, but then I just thought to myself, I don't know that I just expect Bumgarner to come off the DL and be one of the best pitchers in baseball.
From a
shoulder injury. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't know what to expect. Like you have to lower them in your rankings based on the time they're going to miss. But the hardest part is, what are they going to be when they come back? And I don't know. I can't answer
that. I would say I'm more worried about Bumgarner's injury than Syndergaard's in terms of that, in terms of coming back and being yourself.
Yeah.
I agree.
Tough.
Based on the little bit we've seen, the two most recent examples, Matz and Kershaw, I don't know that the most recent examples, but the most notable examples, they were both pretty much back to normal.
And Sonny Gray was reportedly hitting 94, 95 in his minor league rehab assignment coming back. So I think a lat injury is just, it's necessarily less serious than a shoulder. Like, there's a chance that Bumgarner comes back and isn't Madison Bumgarner.
I wasn't even trying to compare Syndergaard to Bumgarner so much as I was, like, the guys that I still have behind Syndergaard, one of them two spots behind is Dylan Bundy. If I'm giving Dylan Bundy a two-month head start, like, maybe if I'm on a 3-1, 4-0 team, 4-1 team, then I feel okay holding on to Thor for that long.
Yeah. Yeah, man, that's the thing.
That's
like,
rough.
You gotta have a good team, I think, if you're gonna trade for either of those two players. Yeah. And I think my philosophy has been this. I'm only gonna give up a player that if he's out for the year starting tomorrow, I'm not gonna miss him that much.
I think that's fair.
And that
it's gonna be really hard to trade for either of those guys or move either of them.
Yeah, probably. And I think it's more likely to be a hitter that I'm giving up because I keep finding myself going, I don't want to give up my pitching depth as well. You know how I feel about pitching, but anyway, mm-hmm. You guys do what you want. Everybody out there, do what you want with Syndergaard.
Do whatever you want.
And
that's the theme of our podcast.
Listening. No, I think we stated our opinion well enough. That was just an awkward transition. Aaron Sanchez is on the DL. Ryan Braun day to day with trap tightness. Steven Wright's on the DL with a knee injury. Any interesting replacements there?
No.
David Price.
No, it would.
Yeah, that's just hoping David Price gets back pretty soon.
Yeah, it'd probably be
Which
like Brian
be couple,
Johnson or somebody
a couple
filling
turns.
In, right?
Yeah, I think it will be Johnson. Miguel Cabrera should be back today from a groin injury. Tyler Skaggs out 10 to 12 weeks with an oblique strain. Yikes. Brandon Crawford could be back Friday. Jorge Soler is having a good rehab assignment. He's hitting the ball well. Should we go pick up Jorge Soler before it's too late?
Have we ever seen Jorge Soler and Jorge Bonifacio in the same place at the same time?
There are a lot of similarities, except that Jorge Bonifacio doesn't strike out that much.
Soler's 33% owned.
What's that?
He's 33% owned, Soler.
I think he's worth going out and adding.
Yeah, the last thing I saw, and it was a couple days ago, was the Royals were in no rush to bring him back. And I would assume that's because Bonifacio is hitting the ball really well right now, and they just want to let him hit for a while.
But you got to think, if either of those guys can hit, they're going to get in the lineup somewhere with how bad that team
they
is.
Should, yeah, Brandon Moss probably needs to have a disabled list trip.
He can play first base.
Like Sam Dyson.
What's
that?
Is that a threat?
No, I just...
like a mafia move.
It's a Nancy Kerrigan
situation.
He's like
38 years old, probably 32 or something, but can't hit worth a... anything right
this now. Is tremendous you. This is tremendous Heath Cummings Royals frustration on today's podcast. Evan Longoria dealing with foot soreness. It could be plantar fasciitis, and that's bad. Hands off Evan Longoria.
He played through plantar fasciitis in 2014, I think.
Yeah. And I don't think he was that good, right?
It's a lingering.
It was his worst season.
It's a lingering condition, but it's one that like players often play through and often with no ill effects. So it's just I think the severity, there's a wide range of potential outcomes with that.
All right, Avi Garcia sat with groin tightness. He should be back today. Wellington Castillo day to day with neck spasms. Hanley Ramirez dealing with a shoulder injury. It might only be a throwing injury, like they're talking about him next week at Milwaukee. Can he play first base? Not sure it's affecting his hitting. Hyunjin Ryu's on the DL with a hip contusion. Thank you to the Dodgers for sorting that out. And interesting stuff on the ESPN broadcast last night from Tim Kirchen. He was talking about what he's learned from Buck Showalter. Buck Showalter has guidelines when you're drafting a player. He says, don't draft a guy with bright blue eyes because he can't see well during day games. Buck Showalter likes players with square heads, not a lot of facial hair. He doesn't want an 18-year-old with a lot of facial hair, because that means he won't be able to grow into his body more. And he likes a high butt, whatever that means.
Disagree. Disagree on the high butt. High butt's a bad sign.
Really?
That's for basketball.
Yeah. I have a very strong high butt bias in basketball. I don't know.
Different body types.
I don't know if it works in baseball either. You want a low center of gravity in baseball. You want a strong core, and a high butt doesn't give you a strong core. I want a Kirby Puckett body in baseball, you know?
I'm going to take Buck Showalter's opinion on this one.
Want someone shaped like a bowling ball.
It was really interesting, and apparently Josh Hamilton confirmed to Tim Kirchen that he had trouble seeing during day games with his eyes. So that's interesting stuff. Also interesting
stuff. How's his butt?
I'm not sure.
He has a really high butt.
Really?
Michael Pineda.
Andrew Miller has the highest butt I've ever seen.
He just
Andrew Miller's butt is 6 feet off the floor.
Long legs. Well, this was an unexpected detour. So lineup stuff. Delino DeShields led off again. He doubled. He did strike out twice, but they did not hit well yesterday. Cody Bellinger had two of the Dodgers' 6 hits, including a double off Johnny Cueto. Aaron Altair, 18% owned. He batted second. He doubled twice at the Cubs and hadn't been playing quite every day, but he was in there yesterday. And Xander Bogaerts led off again. Looks like he's their leadoff hitter for now. Pedroia has been horrible this year. Scott, I talked about the Shields, Bellinger, Altair, Bogaerts. Anything really jump out at you?
I'm still skeptical that they're really going to end up sending Bellinger down. He brings so much energy to that lineup and has been great. I mean, even in terms of strikeouts, 5 strikeouts and 25 at-bats, it's just obviously not much of a sample there, but he's the kind of talent, and you know, so far it's played out where you see him improve upon reaching the majors, and I
bench Adrian Gonzalez.
Just
let Cody Bellinger play first.
Or Andrew Toles. I mean,
sure. They've got bad hitters all throughout the outfield and first base. They can find room for him.
Yeah. And DeShields and and Altair are, I don't know, around 20% owned. Who would you rather
under-owned.
Have? Pick one.
DeShields. But I like Altair.
Yeah, I guess DeShields, but
now Profar's down, so it's like Ryan Rua. Is that going to threaten DeShields' playing time?
No, I just wonder if DeShields is going to threaten DeShields' playing time.
Well, I mean, is Altair really so much more proven and promising than DeShields?
Like, not proven. I don't know. Like, neither one of them are proven. We've seen DeShields fail more.
And succeed
that
more.
True. We haven't really seen DeShields fail that much. I mean, look, both
last
of them.
Last year, 2016. Both DeShields and Altair were both very disappointing.
Both need to hit, okay? But you got opportunities here. And they're pretty under-owned. So we were trying to get people to jump on. Look, Michael Conforto's up to 85% owned now.
Wow. And like, during the course of yesterday, Scott Schebler went from 12% to 52%.
Wow.
Like, I thought more leagues used Fab and would make that possible.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah.
So let me go to Conforto real quick. Well, before we do buy low or heck no, let's do sell high in there. We already did Bundy. Michael Conforto is 85% owned. Sell high or keep this guy. And the reason why I'm curious about selling high here is he's only 1-for-8 against lefties. Only 8 at-bats against lefties. And he did homer. That was his one hit. But this guy really has not shown he can hit left-handed pitching. So buy or sell high or keep this guy, Michael Conforto.
I'm going to keep him. I don't. The lefty thing is a concern. He's kind of someone that's making me change my view on fantasy baseball in general. I think we should just assume that the first guy off the bench is going to get his chance at some point with every team. Because it's just nothing ever goes right enough where they don't, right?
Yeah. I mean, Jerko for the Cardinals.
Yeah, like it seems like at some point you're going to get your chance if you're in that situation. And you're talented.
What do I get to count as a sell high on Conforto? Because I'm
Schwarber.
In on him.
Yeah, I do that.
I would take Schwarber.
Yeah, me too. No, I get what you're saying. I mean, the concept of Conforto, yeah, he's 85% owned now. A couple days ago, he was like 55% owned. And it's like, how likely are you ever to sell high on a player you just picked up? I think it's pretty unlikely that the rest of the league would go for that. So I'm kind of content to let this play out. I think Conforto has the upside that could make it worthwhile.
I think he's going to stick. I think he has top 25 outfielder upside.
Okay. Conforto or Bellinger?
Conforto. Easily.
Yep.
All right. The other sell high or keep this guy is Jason Vargas. Only one strikeout, but another good start. Look, the White Sox actually been hitting the ball pretty well lately. So now Vargas, with one run and 6 innings, has a 1.42 ERA. Sell high or keep this guy, Jason Vargas?
You can't sell high, but if you could, you should.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to be pessimistic.
This was his true colors yesterday.
There's a pretty good chance that you're dropping him in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So if you could get anything for him, that's
something
that's awesome.
I will say you're not dropping
this
in 2 weeks.
This was the second time seeing the White Sox in a week, so it's encouraging they didn't hit him too hard.
No Avi Garcia, though. Yeah, that also
Keith looking for any silver lining he can find.
Yeah. If you could sell him for any of the top 50 pitchers, do it.
I'd sell him for Avi Sal Garcia.
Yeah, I'm not doing that.
Well, if you're planning on dropping Vargas in 2 weeks, or at least considering it, why wouldn't you trade him for Avi Garcia?
I think there's just as good a chance that I'm dropping Avi Sal Garcia.
I don't know.
I guess the only thing is that like a starting pitcher can have one bad start that makes you drop him, whereas like Avi Sal Garcia could be like the frog in the boiling pot of water where you don't realize you need to drop him until 3 weeks too late.
All right, so we'll do buy low or heck no in a second. Heath, before I forget, you, before the show started, were telling me you were moving Senwan Oh down in your rankings after he gave up, I think, 3 unearned runs yesterday.
Now, to be clear, I two things. I feel kind of weird about the whole unearned runs when it comes on a dong, but they were unearned runs. They did not hurt his ERA. The reason I say that is I don't think the manager looks at that and says, well, that home run you gave up, that was unearned because you should have been out of the inning. There's a little bit of reason to still be concerned, and I had not updated my reliever rankings during his recent success, so I wasn't just overreacting to this one outing, I guess.
Okay.
I don't feel like he's like I've got him in the Roberto Osuna range.
Do you have him? Who do you have? Like Tony Watson or Senwan Oh?
Oh, for sure. Like we've talked about that whole tier of relievers that we thought could be elite number ones. He is at the very bottom of that for me now, but I didn't move him out of that tier. It would take a lot for somebody not in that tier to jump into it.
He's been pitching really well, though. He had turned things around. Rosenthal also got roughed up, I think, in his last outing, or maybe his two outings ago, whatever it was. I thought it was interesting, but okay. But he's still in the elite tier. Still in the elite tier. And
could be elite tier.
What'd you say?
It could be elite.
Could be
tier.
Elite tier, right?
Yeah, he's not up there with Wade Davis or anything.
Now, buy low or heck no in just a second, but I want to talk a little bit about daily fantasy right now. What is the best part about fantasy sports? It's got to be the draft. So why don't you do more drafts? And let me tell you about my favorite daily fantasy game. I have been playing it myself. It's the Draft app. It's just called Draft. It's simple, and it's a simple daily fantasy app where you can do snake drafts, just like the ones you do at the beginning of your season. And it's great because nobody you're competing against is going to have the same players as you. It's a simple concept, but that's why I love the app. And there's more strategy, in my opinion. And last week, I did, a six-person draft, and I won. I won some money, so guess what? On Draft, you can play for free, or you can play for money. And your chances of winning money on Draft are almost 3 times better than your chances of winning on FanDuel or DraftKings. So if you're playing fantasy for money and you're not spending hours a day doing it, you absolutely should be playing on Draft. So join me and download the Draft app now. Just search Draft in the App Store. It's going to be the first one you see. Be sure to enter the promo code FB today. When you download, you're going to get a 100% bonus on up to $600 when you deposit. Search Draft in the App Store and use the promo code FB today, as in fantasy baseball today. Buy low or heck no. After this, we're going to read some emails. I got a lot that I want to get to. We haven't been getting to too many, so here we go. Edwin Encarnacion, who now has 37 strikeouts in 25 games. Man, buy low or heck no on Edwin Encarnacion.
Buy low.
I'll buy low.
Okay. Yep.
Notorious slow starter. The strikeouts, a little concerning, I guess, but I don't want to read it too much into it yet.
Buy low on Edwin Encarnacion. Chris Davis. He was the number 17 first baseman in points, number 16 in Roto last year, and he is once again struggling. I will say that in 2015, Chris Davis was batting .250 in his first 26 games. And then he hit 41 home runs in his next 134, and he was awesome. So buy low or heck no on Chris Davis with a C of the Orioles.
I buy low, but I buy low with the understanding there's a wide range of potential outcomes for him. And so I really want to make sure it's a low that I'm buying him. And
would Hanley Ramirez be low?
I would.
Yeah, I would. I think that's low, but I don't have nearly – I'm not coming at from the starting point for Hanley Ramirez that you are.
Okay. Would you trade Michael Conforto for Chris Davis?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Would you trade Dylan Bundy for Chris Davis?
Yeah.
If I was in a situation where I needed that and had excess pitching, sure.
Yeah, I would definitely do it.
All right. Next up, another streaky guy. Jackie Bradley, 196 batting average with one home run, five walks, 12 strikeouts in 13 games. Jackie Bradley, buy low or heck no?
More like Jackie Bradley.
I'd buy low on him, too. I mean, it's only he missed all that time, so it's such a tiny sample relative to everyone else. I don't know that it's...
But
I don't even know that it's fair to take his numbers and kind of
is his knee healthy?
I can't guarantee it. I imagine he wouldn't be playing if he wasn't.
It's a variable that you have to consider when you're talking about trading for him.
Yeah,
for Bradley,
he is. You know, he's not that far ahead of like Conforto for me to put it in perspective of what buy low means. Like, you know. Somebody off to a hot start who I don't think is that good, like Yasmani Tomas. He's off to a pretty good start, right? Like a Yasmani Tomas for Jackie Bradley deal, something like
that.
Yeah.
All right, Jackie Bradley, buy low.
I'm going to say heck no.
Oh, heck no. Heck no, he says.
And it's not because I really, like, I just think if that's the level, I've got him ranked right around Tomas. I'd probably just rather stick with Tomas because of the risk that Bradley really is just badly this year.
All right, well, how about Gregory Nolanco of the Pirates? Gregory Polanco has not homered yet. 22 games. He does have 7 doubles, good walk-to-strikeout ratio, 9 walks, 15 Ks, 5 steals, but Polanco's batting .235 with no home runs. Buy low on Gregory Polanco or heck no?
I've been trying to trade him, actually. And I'm not selling low on him. Maybe that's why I haven't succeeded in trading him. But I'm trying to trade him like he's a fifth or sixth round pick because I don't have a lot of confidence in him. I didn't coming in. Like, I felt like a lot of his draft value was dependent on him taking a step forward that so far he hasn't taken yet.
Yep.
Strikeout rate is encouraging. The fact he's running is encouraging. And that's why I don't want to sell low on him. I think there's still plenty of upside there, but I don't have a lot of confidence in Polanco, no.
Buy low. I'm going to make you some offers today, Scott.
Okay.
Yeah, I wouldn't. I would not buy low on him.
But I'm not selling low, Heath, just to be clear.
So
you can't buy low from me. You can buy face value.
I'm going to offer you players that you like more than me.
Okay.
And then I'll just take Polanco.
All right, we'll see.
Gregory Polanco. Do you think Marcus Stroman for Gregory Polanco is a fair deal?
Yes.
Sure.
Yeah.
And I'd probably lean to the Polanco side on that.
I'd rather have Polanco.
All right. Chris, you picked Stroman to win the Cy Young?
Yeah.
So sure you'd do that?
I mean, it was a bold prediction.
Yeah, it was.
It wasn't a prediction. It was bold.
Okay. I don't know if it was bold. I mean, it's in the Cy Young picks. You picked Marcus Stroman.
It wasn't part of our bold prediction section?
No.
There's no Cy Young pick in the American League is a bold prediction.
It's Dallas Keuchel is the safe prediction, as we established yesterday, other than Chris Sale.
They're kind of the same person.
Christian Yelich. Okay, so I put Christian Yelich in the buy low or heck no, and then I saw he's actually been better than I thought. Like, it didn't strike me as Yelich was having a good season. He's batting .280 with 4 home runs and 3 steals. 20 runs and 17 RBIs, though, is really helping Yelich to be the number 21 outfielder in points, number 17 in Roto. Still hitting a ton of ground balls, but the home run to fly ball ratio is actually about the same as it was last year when he hit a career high 21 home runs and 38 doubles. So I don't even know if Yelich is in this category, but buy low, heck no. I don't know. Talk about Yelich.
He is what he is. I wouldn't expect 20 home runs again, but I think he'll get pretty close. I think he's going to put up really good run and RBI numbers.
He's on like a 25 homer pace, though, right?
Yeah, but if he had one fewer home run, he'd be on a 15 homer pace.
Yeah. But it's just weird. Like, I see 4 home runs, and I think, man, this guy is not keeping up with the power hitters. But you play it out like that, and oh. Well, maybe he is. Maybe just some of the hot starters have totals that are way too high and unsustainable, which is no doubt true. But what's weird about Christian Yelich is four home runs versus one double. And I feel like I've seen this from a lot of players. Like, I'm not even sure how to look it up, but are doubles way down this year? Like, it would make sense if everybody's putting the ball in the air more and selling.
Well, we just talked about Gregory Polanco having seven doubles, no home runs. So
yeah.
Well, I think Yelich really is not having that good of a year. It's 20 runs and 17 steals, unless 17 RBIs. Like, unless I put the wrong stats, like those counting stats are crazy.
Those are correct. I'll buy low. I still think he's going to be a top 24 outfielder.
Okay. Heath getting us back on task.
Thank you, Heath. And buy low or heck no on Michael Franco.
Buy low
for sure, 100%.
Really? All right.
He's hitting the ball very hard. Striking out, as usual.
And walking, and he's always got RBI opportunity, just like we thought he would.
All right, Michael Franco. And buy low or heck no on Kendrys Morales.
Buy low. I did yesterday.
I'd technically call him a buy low, but I don't think the ceiling is so high that it's a major priority. I actually dropped him in a 21-man roster league, 12-team league for Conforto, I think.
Yeah, you might be able to pick him up.
Right. That's why he's a buy low, because you don't have to give up hardly anything for him.
Kendrys Morales hit 30 home runs last year. 17 of them came in 40 games. Like, the point is, Kendrys Morales was mostly awful for much of the season last year. More than two-thirds.
Right. I don't think he's been as bad this year as his numbers suggest. I'm not really worried about him. I still think he's going to hit 30 home runs this year.
All right. Listen, people, you've been emailing us a lot. FantasyBaseball@CBSI.com. FantasyBaseball@CBSI.com. Much of it has been grade the trade. So we'll save some of those for Wednesday. But for now, it's time for emails, followed by Team Name Tuesday. And then we should probably talk about like Amir Garrett.
And Luis Severino.
Yeah, Severino had no command yesterday. Did any pitcher that pitched yesterday change your mind? Severino, Garrett, Odorizzi, Velasquez, Gazelman, Daniel Norris.
I'm totally fine. I've been okay with dropping Robert Gazelman. It's 100% okay.
Yeah.
Just go ahead and do it.
Yeah, I was so mad at myself for trusting him in him in a two-start week. After just dropping him in one league last week, I was like, oh, two stars.
Same with Trevor Bauer. Yeah. I feel exactly the same way.
Here's something I noticed with Amir Garrett, who it looks like rebound start from his one bad start. It was a really bad start. But apart from that one 12 strikeout effort, strikeouts have been consistently low. Only 4 Ks in this start, but the only damage was a couple solo home runs. Those are the only two hits he allowed. But I was reading the recap of the start on the Reds' official website, and they mentioned in there that when batters make contact, they're hitting the ball very hard. He has the second highest average exit velocity among all pitchers. And that seems like a problem for a guy who's not missing bats apart from that one 12 strikeout game. And he's not getting a lot of swinging strikes overall.
And actually, I'm doing research for a piece, and I'm looking at the pitches that have the lowest swinging strike rates. He has the lowest swinging strike rate with his four-seam fastball in baseball.
Amir Garrett, yeah.
Amir Garrett,
so,
yeah.
Obviously, I'm not dropping him based on this. He's must-own, but he might be somebody I think about sneaking into a deal.
I was
very encouraged by Daniel Norris's start.
I can't figure him out. This is two good starts against Cleveland this year. Basically, his only two like really good starts, and he walked four yesterday. But I still think there's a lot of potential with Daniel Norris. He's 49% owned. I don't know. I can't figure a lot of these guys out. I had the same thought about Garrett. I like him, but I think he's just so inexperienced that you could see a point where he just really struggles and gets dropped, and now might be the time to throw him into a deal, which I almost did yesterday, Scott. I felt the same exact way.
Yeah. I think it's worth mentioning, too, since we kind of glossed over it. My opinion of Severino hasn't changed.
Yeah.
Based on the bad start. I mean, he's allowed one bad start in four.
What did you, I guess when you say that, because mine didn't really either, but I don't feel like I'd moved him up quite as quickly.
I think he is the biggest riser among starting pitchers this year. like the one guy who I can say, you know, went widely undrafted, but now I can't imagine.
Severino, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's interesting is his three hardest thrown balls came on his 59th, 60th, and 61st fastballs.
Yeah.
Of his start.
It was weird. It was 100 pitches in. He threw 100 miles per hour.
Yeah.
So he just had no command. Couldn't locate it.
Actually a really good sign.
Oh, I said that last time. I mean, his velocity seems to be increasing as the games go on. His velocity has been great. His changeup, I think the difference between him and Pineda, I think Severino's changeup is better than Pineda's. Pineda's is almost just like, look, I have a changeup. I think Severino can actually be effective with it.
And we don't have years and years of Michael Pineda being frustrating.
Yeah. All right.
He got a high butt, though.
He does. let's do emails here. This is from... Oh, come on. The first email, I already forgot to input the guy's name in. That's pathetic. This is from Egg in my kitchen. Dear Fantasy, poached, scrambled, fried, and boiled. I'll make this quick and easy. 12-team categories league. Weekly or daily lineups? Go.
Weekly.
Weekly.
Daily.
I like daily.
Oh man, they're split 6-6 in the league. They needed us to break the tie, and we go 2-2.
Well, Azer and Heath's opinions don't matter. So there you go.
I will say, and maybe this can be the tiebreaker, if there is any format where I'm not so down on daily, it's head-to-head categories. I think that's the one that makes the most sense because you get to mix in those relievers in between your starts, which is
maybe just compromise and go weekly transactions, daily lineups.
How about daily with a transactions limit or an innings limit? So people
you definitely have
just,
to have an innings and plate appearances limit.
And I would say an innings minimum too.
Yep.
Yeah.
I don't like any of those things.
This is
make fantasy baseball more like fantasy football wherever you can, I think.
Well, that would mean head-to-head points is the format.
But you don't have to do that.
But if you
prefer head-to-head categories, you can still do that without fundamentally changing your league.
Josh in Iowa. Hey, Ricky, Cal, Walker, and Texas Ranger.
That is the...
It's Ricky Bobby.
Yeah, the Bobby family.
Yeah. With Cal is.
Oh, that was
John
a friend.
John C. Reilly.
No, they're family. Doesn't he marry his ex-wife?
Yes,
that makes family.
With Gary Sanchez coming off the DL, who do I drop? Ivan Nova, Bud Norris, Julio Urias, Michael Conforto, or Michael Franco? Ouch. Nova, Bud Norris, Urias, Conforto, Franco.
Bud.
Norris clearly has the lowest long-term value.
Norris.
Okay. Ryan in St. Louis. Dear Blue Springs, Lee's Summit, and Liberty.
Those are suburbs of Kansas City.
This question is to the resident Kansas Cityan on the staff. If Kelvin Herrera is traded, who takes over as closer?
Soria, assuming he's not traded as well.
Okay. Taylor in Canada. Who's better going forward, Elvis Andrews or Aledmys Diaz?
Diaz.
Aledmys, and I think he probably has less trade value right now.
Oh, that's sad. Definite buy low scenario for Diaz then, who, I mean, is doing exactly what you want in terms of the low strikeout rate and hitting home runs.
It's just
batting average is going to correct itself.
BABIP's really low and he's not walking.
Yeah.
From Glenn, sell James Paxton high or could he be a Cy Young candidate?
One of my bold prediction was top three Cy Young finisher in
the AL.
Answer
to both questions could be yes.
I would not sell high unless you own him and Chris is in your league or Scott.
I mean, if you could get like a top 12 pitcher for him, I think he's right near that range. I don't think he's quite there, but like, I'm not 100% sure Cole Hamels is better than him.
No, I would take Paxton.
Either.
I would take Paxton. But would everybody take Paxton over Hamels?
I would take Hamels.
I would still take Hamels, but the way Chris phrased that was, I'm not 100%
I would not trade. If I had James Paxton, I would not trade him for Cole Hamels.
I would not trade Cole Hamels for James Paxton.
Yeah, I think I'd probably stick with whichever one I had because it's too fine of a line for me to want to.
You're flipping a coin there.
For me to want to shoot myself in the foot.
Okay. True or false from James in Boston. Jonathan Lucroy will justify his draft position this year.
I think you kind of have to go with false.
Really?
Right? Well, he's got a 523 OPS on May 2nd. It's going to be he's got a lot of work to make up.
You see where he batted yesterday?
We see players have bad months all the time.
You see where Jonathan Lucroy batted yesterday? Batted ninth. It's like his third game batting ninth. They just keep moving him down.
He'll get hot at some point.
Get him a little protection in the order.
He's a 31-year-old catcher, guys.
I would call him a buy-low candidate as well.
I would call him a buy-low. I don't think he'll probably justify his draft position.
Well, he's destroying my podcast league team, by the way. Oh, how are we doing on the poll in the podcast league? Are people voting?
What poll?
I did not see a poll, so I didn't vote.
Chris saw it, right?
I did vote. I don't remember what I voted for.
Oh, we have 9 votes, which means 2 of the people who haven't voted are on this podcast out of the 3 who haven't voted. And it looks like I am the only one who voted for option 1. So I screwed up and made a 12-team league into a division of 5 and a division of 7 instead of 2 divisions of 6. Unfortunately, there is no way to correct that without screwing up the standings and the schedule. So I said, we have 2 options. Either I can put Scott White in the Mountain Dew division and take him out of the Peeps division. I guess we decided to name the divisions after the 2 grossest things on Earth. or
you came up with those names, didn't you?
I think it must have been last year, honestly. I didn't change them.
Oh, okay.
Or no divisions, and the top 6 teams make the playoffs. And no divisions is winning 9-1. And I know
I voted.
I voted. Is it 10-1 now?
I voted to make it 9.
You voted to make it 9. Okay.
Yes. Why are you volunteering me to move to a division?
Riveting podcasting, guys. I gotta say, I am on the edge of my seat along with everyone listening.
Because Scott, because I want 2 analysts in each division, and I was gonna take the 2 first place teams in the Peeps division and move 1. Anyway,
all
it's
right,
not gonna
down
happen.
Down with divisions. Divisions are stupid.
I agree.
That's what's gonna happen. No divisions. All right. From Anthony from Nevada. I was wondering what you thought of Rafael Bautista of the Nationals. Dude stole 200-plus bags in the minors. I don't see Michael Taylor keeping the job. Do you think Rafael Bautista is worth a shot in a deep roto league?
That is not the guy to pick up. If you want to speculate, I would say the guy to pick up is Andrew Stevenson, who just got moved up to AAA Syracuse. He was hitting .350 at AA. He's one of their top 10 prospects, at least on Baseball Prospectus. And he's got a lot of stolen base potential. Has 63 and 208 minor league games.
Bautista was one of their top 10 prospects too, I think.
Not on the list I was looking at.
Okay, maybe that was last year he was. I in a really deep roto league, you've got guys that are not on major league rosters on your team, and he's on a major league roster, and he's got huge stolen base potential. I don't hate adding him.
All right, we interrupt these emails for some Team Name Tuesday, and then we'll finish up with more emails. Kevin from Pennsylvania, the Wrath of Conley.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Very good. Wes from Arizona has 2. You be the judge with a couple of guys there. And Sano White and his 7 dongs.
I do like turning Sano into snow. That's not something I would have thought of on
so
my
like
own.
So like Informer by Sano?
Yes. Yes.
Scott, you not get that one?
No.
Come on. Everybody knows the words to that. Informer. You know, say, Informer Gazadeo. I get to sing again.
I still don't get it. Sorry.
Rusty says, this is the all DL team name. Cinder Garden of Eaton, baby. That's good.
Yeah, it's pretty good having 2 players.
Have we done? Have we
shoehorned?
Done? Sung one. Oh, it's magic.
No, that's good. And Alfred says, "Word to your motter." Word to yours, Alfred. Very good. Okay, back to emails from Brady. Would it be smart to offer Ryan Zimmerman for Carlos Martinez in a points league?
Very, very smart.
Mm-hmm. I don't think you'll get it, but yeah, it would be brilliant.
You might get it.
Yeah.
I mean, Zimmerman's been the best player in fantasy, right?
I can't bring myself to offer him for anyone, and because I just don't know if anybody buys it.
Yeah.
There's a way to find out.
Yeah, I guess.
You could offer him.
I just keep hoping I can find the guy in my league who like doesn't really watch baseball anymore,
but
you're
not going
really
to find
into
him.
Baseball 6 years ago.
You can't find him without offering.
Well, Ryan Zimmerman, I'm actually going to look up some actual trades involving Ryan Zimmerman in a moment. This is Kevin in Sockle? I'm just kidding. Dear Jim, Jim, Michael, Andy, and Dwight. I'm sure they filmed that in Sockle. 10-team 5x5 standard. Would you drop Gregory Polanco or Eric Hosmer for Josh Bell or Delino to Shields?
Not that down on Polanco.
Yeah, not Polanco. I think it's fine to drop Eric Hosmer.
Is it worth it for either of those two, though?
I'm not.
I kind of like both Bell and DeShields. I think
it's just kind
of somebody's
like,
going to pick up Hosmer and start him most of the year if you drop him.
Meh. Maybe.
Okay.
He did it a home run yesterday.
He did.
He did.
He's back.
Hit it the other way.
And last one here. Dear Billy Happy and Sandy Wexler. Oh! This is from Jeremy. I meant to tell you, I started watching Sandy Wexler because I wanted to watch the worst movie ever made.
I don't know what that is.
Is it the worst movie ever made?
No, Grown Ups is worse. And Grown Ups 2 is probably even worse than that. And I never saw Jack and Jill. But so far, about halfway through Sandy Wexler, which is a made-for-Netflix Adam Sandler movie, yeah, it's as bad as I thought it was going to be. So
he's released like 5 movies on Netflix in like a year.
Yeah, he signed some big deal with them a while back. Did Adam Sandler legitimately get worse, or did his fan base just grow up?
I think his style of comedy doesn't fit with what people like anymore.
Oh no! He legitimately got worse.
The style of comedy has changed. Like what's popular in comedy is very different than it was in the 90s.
Yeah,
the kind of like dopey. Dumb guy isn't really like working anymore.
Yeah,
the Judd Apatow version of comedy has kind of taken over.
No, he got worse.
Pretty great.
He got family friendly.
Or Neighbors.
That's not an Adam Sandler movie.
No, but it was the same type of humor.
But no,
there was the dopey guy.
What's the best Adam Sandler movie?
I think it's Billy Madison.
But 50 First Dates is up there, right?
It's like maybe fifth or sixth. I mean, I don't know.
I don't know that going family friendly was his issue. I even kind of like Bedtime Stories.
Just Go With It for some reason.
I kind of like Click, actually.
Click! I cry hysterically. Hysterical tears from the movie Click. The most unnecessarily sad movie. There's like a 10-minute sequence.
Big Daddy was pretty great.
Yeah, Big Daddy was when he was good.
Great. I just kind of
like
him.
Like the last like movie I would say is good by him.
That's
like 18 years ago.
Yeah
maybe. Well, I don't know. I didn't really like Funny People that much.
I thought Funny People was
the
okay.
The first 2/3 of that movie are great, and then it just devolves into a disaster.
You know, it seems like Heath is the most welcoming of Adam Sandler movies.
Well, Funny People is like the least Adam Sandler movie of the Adam Sandler movies.
And look how grown up Heath is.
I'm trying to see what the last Adam Sandler movie I actually saw was, though.
Probably Funny People.
So
it
here's the
may
thing.
Have been.
I don't really. I am not looking forward to all the hate tweets that I'm going to get for this very long Adam Sandler conversation. So I'm going to get back to baseball. The only thing I'm going to say is, like, if you listen to his CDs, Adam Sandler's CDs, like from back in the day, like What the Hell Happened to Me, he was so funny. And that stuff is, a lot of it is still very funny. He just became family friendly. So here's the question. It's in a keeper league and it's about dropping Greg Bird. Should Jeremy drop Greg Bird?
In a keeper league, probably. Like, I don't know how many you get to keep, but you'd have to keep a lot before I'd really be worried about dropping.
He said rookies are quite valuable. That's all he said. Is he a rookie?
He's not technically a rookie, but it might be a situation where rookies have a low starting value and then grow from there. So he'd still be early on that. I mean, we're kind of trying to decipher the format based on little information. I think him stressing that would lead me to believe that he should probably hang on to Bird.
Look, the strikeout rate's way up, which is a concern, but he is still hitting the ball pretty hard. I think the power can still come. It's probably just a really bad month.
You know when you see a guy who's slumping and every time he gets up to the plate, he just looks like he has no clue what he wants to do. He doesn't know should he swing early. He'll take a pitch. It's always a strike. He's always behind in the count. Like, it just happens. I don't know what the future holds, but right now that is Greg Bird. The guy is just completely lost. And, I don't know. In like a deep league where nobody's dropping him, I still think he's going to be valuable, but there's no, I mean, nobody's hanging on to him in any league with flexibility on the roster. But in a keeper league, yeah, I'd keep Bird.
I still haven't dropped him.
Right. But what league?
It's a 12 team. It's a keeper league, but he's not looking like a person that I'm going to keep right now. It's just, I haven't needed the roster spot. I've been able to drop other guys. I dropped Byron Buxton ahead of him. So I'm hanging on and hoping.
Hold on for one more day. Okay, we're done. Thank you, everybody. Thank you, Chris, for joining me in singing. That was very fun. And go watch Sandy Wexler. Let me know what you think.
Happy Gilmore's the best Adam Sandler movie, right?
Yeah.
I said
yeah.
Billy Madison, but it's a toss-up.
They're kind of the same movie.
The question is which one is third. So you let us know. What's the third best Adam Sandler movie? We'll talk to you tomorrow.